Hello, and welcome to TV Dinner, the podcast where we take three bites out of a show and tell you how it tastes. I'm your host, Kalena.
I'm your other host, Sean.
And this week, we are watching Wok Fu.
Yes, Wok Fu is a French animated television series based off of a video game.
Okay. How's it spelled?
W-A-K-F-U.
Okay, that's what I expected, but I needed to make sure it wasn't like W-O-K, like the cooking implement.
Wok Fu is something that I've had like very fringe awareness of. But a like web agency named Ankama in France developed a flash game, an MMORPG that was about sort of grid-based strategy combat as an individual in like a turn-based system.
Okay.
In a like fantasy setting involving, you know,
so giant... it's an MMORPG themed animation show.
Yes.
Sure.
And it's French, so it's
so it's weird.
Well, it's like cute in a way.
The only other French shows I know are Miraculous Ladybug and Code Lyoko. Oh, and that one show with the gender fluid person, that one was French, right?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
Do you know what show I'm talking about?
No. I know what show you're talking about, but I don't remember the title.
It was like a history teacher by day and like a sexy person who wore a cloak at night.
Wait. Are you talking about Cyber Six?
Yes.
I think we've talked about Cyber Six on the podcast before.
Is that one French?
No.
Okay.
It's definitely not French.
Argentine.
Ah.
Argentine, Canadian, and Japanese.
Huh?
That's what the Wikipedia says.
Okay.
But the comic was out of Argentina. All right. But the show was made by Argentina and Canada and Japan.
Okay.
Anyway, that's irrelevant now because it's not French like I thought it was.
Nope, not even French.
So when you first said Wok Fu, I was thinking about that dog that I see on Dog Spotting a lot from Japan named Wako.
Wako.
The like dark colored Shiba who wears a kimono. And from that, I was thinking about a Gretzko. I was like, oh, is Wok Fu that show about the angry raccoon or whatever?
What? Is this a Sanrio thing?
Yeah, that is exactly what I was thinking.
Oh, is this a Sanrio? No, this is France. Oh, jeez.
Is it, would you say it's a similar style? Since you said it's kind of cutesy?
No, it's more like it's closer to what Miraculous looked like before they went 3D with it, where it's like a anime-inspired cartoon.
Okay.
I believe there were some specials that were produced in Japan. They do the, like, Japanese thing where they will do, like, comedy shorts in the, like, chibi style. You know, Avatar did that, too.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So what is Wok Fu about?
Okay, so Wok Fu is about a team of characters, a party of characters who are representative of classes that you can play in the game, going on an adventure within the game world that is related to sort of the meta plot.
Can you think of another show that is based off of a video game?
Another show that is based off a video game.
And a show, not a movie. Movies are easy.
Another show based off of...
Yeah, that's kind of a weird premise, isn't it?
I guess. I think there's a couple of anime based off of video games that, like, came out consecutively. Like, I know that before Final Fantasy XV came out that they did, like, a short anime for it.
Oh, Persona got a movie?
Persona got an anime.
Or it's getting an anime?
It got an anime and is getting an anime.
Okay, so Persona is the only other prominent example I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
What?
Any of Wakfu.
Oh, yeah. I watched a couple of episodes a long time ago, and since then there was an English dub, so I checked out how good the English dub was. And while it's not bad, like, one of the, like, prominent main characters has a voice that I just can't stand, so I think we have to listen to French.
That's fine. When I was a young weeb, I really liked Death Note, mm-hmm. and the only reason I did not watch it in English is because I couldn't stand Misa's voice actor.
She's not even that, she's nowhere near as bad as this guy.
I believe you, but, like, the rest of the cast can be phenomenal. If there is one voice that bugs you, you're not gonna watch it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So is there anything else I need to know before we get into it?
So Wakfu is a successor to a Flash MMO, a very similar one called Dofus.
Okay.
Dofus. And a pretty prominent part of the world building is this story about an ogre, the legendary ogre Ogrist, who killed who he loved in a fit of rage and climbed atop the tallest mountain and cried for 1,000 years, and that's why the world is flooded.
Spooky.
Yeah, so it's an interesting...
It's got lore.
Yeah, it's an interesting sort of an anime adventure type show.
All right. So let's watch it.
Yeah, let's watch it.
We're going to watch 3 episodes and we will be back in a sec. Bon appetit. And we're back. You tried to steal my thunder.
You hesitated for a second and I swooped in.
You swooshed on right in.
So what'd you think?
It was generic.
Generic? Come on. I mean, I suppose there was nothing, like, too much of a hook in for you.
No, it's very just, like, if you like adventure, you know, any series about adventure, any, like, high fantasy type thing, that's probably for you.
All right.
And not to say that I have the same impression, but it seemed very Seven Deadly Sins-esque.
Really?
In the way that they are both kind of stereotypical adventure stories, where we're kind of traveling through the countryside and we're gaining friends along the way.
Well, Seven Deadly Sins was like a very, like, Eastern shonen, mm-hmm. whereas Wakfu is definitely more like Western shonen, where, like, in Seven Deadly Sins, it is like a horny teen boy who's supposed to be cool, whereas in Wakfu it is like a very young boy who has like an RPG party around him. Yeah. I'm reminded of like Avatar and stuff.
Yeah. Do you want to do a quick plot summary?
Sure. So There's a boy named Yugo who was left behind by a dragon and raised by an adventurer. He thinks he's just a normal boy and the son of the mayor, just enjoying his time working at the inn, until it comes to pass that he finds out that he was left here by a dragon, that he's got to go and find his true family because he's magical and he has teleportation portal powers.
Yes.
Yeah, I hesitated for a bit there, so then I sped up.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if you wanted to say, like, anything more specific, but we'll get into the other things. One thing that I did find kind of more intriguing was the, like, sci-fi, fantasy, steampunk aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really cool when you see, like, steampunk-style robots where it's, like, they are kind of old-fashioned in the way they look and the way the gears are put together, but it's still, you know, it still works like a robot.
Yeah, and, like, you can just, like, hand-wave that stuff away with, like, magic.
Right, and but I feel like that stuff is very aesthetic, and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one, like, really strong thing that the show had going for it was the world, like there was a bug that was like a recording robot. and even though it was like a, you know, like a Tolkien-esque adventuring universe, it didn't feel out of place.
It doesn't feel like your standard European adventure.
Yeah, it's got some unique elements to it, which is nice.
Yeah, like, while there is, like, some talk about, like, dragons and the, like, evil ogre Ogrist,
mm-hmm.
It's still also, like, oh, but also there's just, like...
What makes it not stereotypically European?
'Cause it's got that, like, French style, and it's obviously also, like, very anime-inspired. Like, it's not strictly just, like, a European fantasy, it's also kind of French and pop.
Yeah. So you keep saying, like, it's got a French style, and I want you to elaborate on what you mean by that.
Well, French cartoons are... they're a little dirty.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
They kind of like poop humor.
Oh, okay.
But they're stylistically, they look a little different. I have, like, I'm not an expert, so I can't really put my finger on it. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, like, it's very obviously, like, anime-inspired, but how its animation is, like, done in Flash and stuff, like, it has a very, like, unique look to it. Like, the first two episodes were, like, a lot of, like, necessary, like, setup. I think that you really enjoyed the third episode. I heard you laugh a lot.
Mm-hmm. The animation style is definitely unique for an entire show to be done in Flash.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause pretty much up until now, the only things that I've seen done in Flash that were popular are, like, phone video games and very, very old Newgrounds Flash animations.
My Little Pony was a Flash animation, right?
Was it?
Either they switched away from being that, or they switched to being that at some point, because I know they switched.
Hold on, I'm Googling this.
So some interesting information is that the animated series is set 12 years after the game, and that the most recent update to the game that the, like, baby versions of the main characters are wandering around the world now.
Sorry, I've been Googling My Little Pony animation.
Do you want me to reiterate that?
Yes.
So the series takes place 12 years after the MMO, and the most recent update to the game involves adding in the, like, younger versions of the main characters.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I was asking you while we were watching, Well, what I was saying is that it's kind of hard to determine, having not played the game, what are quests basically directly jacked from the game, and what was made up for the show, and what might have been made up for the show and then imported back into the game.
Yeah, I can't really answer on that, because in between recordings, I tried to play it on Steam, and my computer wouldn't run it. Oops. So I can't go too much into detail on that, but something tells me, just from like the like one episode that we have watched that is not like a main plot, that that's probably not a game quest.
Well, yeah, not the main plot probably, but in the third episode, they had their first like
weekly... No, I'm saying that that episode didn't seem like a game plot to me, because like it seemed like a video game adventure, like, inspired, but it did not seem like the kind of thing that you would exactly play.
That's fair. I was thinking, though, it is very video gamey to have one of your first quests be, like, a map quest. Well, that was a fun way to put that.
Map quest.
Hey, remember map quest? Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, because it's, like, if you don't start off with a map, you get it very quickly, because it's kind of confusing to run around the overworld without it.
That I that's true. I don't know if I've played many RPGs that have like made a point of the map outside of like, oh, here's the tooltip on how to open the map.
Outside of like, you already have it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything else like gamey about it that you want to mention?
A lot of the enemies, I can be like, oh, I can see this being, like, level 5, like, enemy that you grind on.
Yeah, probably.
Did you feel that way about any of the creatures?
Probably, like, the goblin, like, little mook things that the dragon smashed in episode 1. And like, little forest things.
Yeah, the goblins were pretty much the first thing that I thought that about. Like, oh, these are definitely grinding game things, enemies.
Yeah, I can't say it for certain, though.
But one thing that, like, even in the plot episodes, a lot of it got resolved within the episode.
Yeah, so it's not too serialized.
Because in the second episode, I wrote, Dad dies? ?
And that was resolved by the end.
Yeah, because at the beginning of the episode, there are the little, like, tree enemies who turn you into a bush if they touch you, and then that's, like, irreversible. But by the end of the episode, they find the, like, the big tree that controls all of the tiny, like, little, cute little, they're like soot sprites, but leaves. Right. And he told them to turn people back to normal, and then Dad was okay.
Yeah, like, the first episode was when, Percival? Yeah, Percidol.
It's a play off of Parsival, I think?
I suppose so. the first episode is when the possessed Percidol stomps into the inn, and the second one is about, like, the tree. But they, like, kind of both go together about, with the, like, main plot, because there's a lot of, like, setup of the adventure in both of them.
And they're set up with the world itself.
Yeah, and the main villain, Nox, like, showed up in both.
Mm-hmm. Nox is my pretty husband.
Yeah, Nox and all of the, like, main party members are all, like, different classes in the game. Hugo, the Eliotrope, is not one of the, like, original classes of the game, but his, like, kind of character was added later.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to plot reasons.
Well, so you do kind of know some of the things.
Well, only thanks to Google.
Great, thanks.
Thanks to the power of the internet.
Oh, by the way, I think My Little Pony switched to Flash animation.
Okay, I thought it was the other way around, but I was wrong.
Who knows? Wikipedia probably is not cheaper helpful that way. Anyway.
So, speaking of the characters, did you have anything that you thought about them?
Well, you said the Eliotrope, Hugo. What about, Percidol just seems like a knight type.
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have a nose, because he's a yop.
Although that means nothing to me.
Yeah, it means nothing to me too, because it's not like he's an elf or something, but he has pointy ears and no nose and orange hair, and apparently those are all traits of Eop.
Yeah, but what about the, like, class? Or is that tied to his race?
Oh, yeah. It's tied to the same... The world is some kind of, like, world of, like, 12 gods, and the character class that you play is associated with both a race and a god.
Okay. Yeah, that was... for the first 2.5 episodes, I couldn't put my finger on why Percival bothered me so much. And it's just that he's the only character without a nose, and I feel like that's unnecessary.
Well, Krillin didn't have a nose either.
Give Percival a nose, 2018.
He doesn't need a nose, because that means he doesn't have to smell anything bad.
And then there is the like, ranger elf. I didn't write down anybody's names, and I normally do.
Yeah, that...
Oh, I did write down Amalia, who is, like, not necessarily a druid, but a nature-y type.
Mm-hmm. Evangeline is a craw, which appears to be some kind of, like, elf ranger, bow-type person.
Yeah.
And Princess Amalia is a sadida, which is some kind of, like, druid person.
Yeah.
And they're all brown and green because earth and plant tones.
Well, yeah. So they form our, like, core party.
The Brotherhood.
And they all meet up in episode 2. And one thing that is traditionally, like, an adventure story trope that was just, like, super not happening in this was, like, people being kind of... down low about what their real quest is. So most of the time when someone meets up, it's like for example, if this was traditional, Yugo wouldn't want people to know he's an Eliotrope because that means he has a lot of wakfu, which is magic, and that makes him like valuable or whatever. And he meets up with they fucking meet up with these people in the forest they've never met before. And they're like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I have magic powers and I'm going to go find my real family. What are you doing? Oh, well, I'm the princess of this kingdom and we're going back to the kingdom. But I don't want to go back to the kingdom because I want to be an adventurer. Like, fucking
they're
no.
all pretty open about it.
I wrote down these people can't keep their damn mouths shut.
Well, they're just all very positive friends who don't need to keep secrets on each other. This is not your typical melodramatic D&D
party.
Well,
that's what I mean. Like, typically in a setting such as this and an adventuring story, there is a little bit of like, I'm gonna be on the download just in case you like use this against me somehow.
Are you wishing there was more angst and mystery?
No, it was just surprising.
Alright. Yeah, it seems like pretty like upbeat and charming. None of the characters like bother me and none of them have been like gross to each other.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it seems pretty straightforward. There's not a lot of, like, I don't know what's going on, even though it's, like, a whole new setting or whatever. And
yeah.
Wakfu, I'm still not 100% sure what it is. But you said magic, so I'm going to go with that.
I just think that it's definitely not on the level with Seven Deadly Sins.
No, I was just saying because of, like, the typicality of it. Mm-hmm. They're both very typical adventure shows, just with like very different tropes. It's all very straightforward. Like, you know what's going on. Like, you know Nox, the supposedly big bad, is after Yugo for his power. And you know that dragons can disguise themselves as people because that's like the very first thing you see.
Yeah, the dragon, Grugaloragron.
Is that it? Are you sure?
Yes, I had to reread it, but that's it.
The people who are, like, friends and party members don't lie to each other, and they're all very straightforward with their motives and such.
Well, yes, this is a show for 12-year-olds.
Yeah, but it seems like it would be popular with with other people as well.
Yeah, I bet it is. In fact, it's popular enough that the whole reason that it's on Netflix in English now is because of Kickstarter.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. Although, we were talking about it, and this might just be because we don't know French, and it's easier to tolerate voices in a language you don't understand. But it's easier to tolerate the French voices than the English ones.
I like all of the English voices except for the one for Ruel.
Yeah.
His English voice just... who does it? Keith Silverstein. You did a bad job, Keith Silverstein. Damn.
Calling him out.
Silverstein.
I mean, this is one of those rare shows where I don't write down much. It is very few notes. I have dragon and then a dude, apparently.
Oh, you literally didn't write anything more than that.
Yeah. Well, no, I have a lot more, but that is...
oh, liar.
I have a what's in the pram. Because the dragon was going through with a... it was Baby Yugo in a stroller. But everyone was like, what's in the stroller? Like, it wasn't going to be a baby. Like, they were all guessing things that wasn't what would normally be in a stroller.
It's just a baby.
It's just a baby. What else?
Yeah. What do you think of Oz the tofu, which is a bird? Oh. That is always around. That is definitely some kind of, what's the word? Mascot type.
A mascot character. Yeah, I'm not like overly fond of characters that are pretty specifically designed to be mascot characters. Like, they're fine, I guess, but I don't know. it seems unnecessary, I guess.
Okay, I thought that you were particularly annoyed.
No, I don't like the way that. They draw birds is really gross to me, and tofu is one of those because the eyeballs take up like half of their body mass.
Yeah, they do big cartoon eyeballs,
and I don't like big cartoon eyeballs on very tiny bird bodies. It's gross. It's gross looking.
All right, does it remind you of Angry Birds or something?
I never really cared one way or the other about Angry Birds. So, given everything that we've talked about, I still think that this show is kind of bland.
All right. Well, the reason why I'm surprised by that is that I actually find the music and the visuals and the fact that, like, I can't, like, how there's like new vocabulary, there's new lingo and stuff, and like it's not, I'm not just talking about like elves and dwarves or something.
Yeah.
And just that it seems like relaxing and nothing bad.
Well, I mean, there is conflict or else it would be super boring.
I mean, bad as in like Seven Deadly Sins bad type stuff.
Oh. I mean, I guess it does get points for being terrible, for not being terrible.
I don't think that you said that right.
Yeah, I said for not being terrible after that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure we should give things brownie points for avoiding being awful.
No, I know.
I mean, you're saying, like, the new lingo in terms of like races and stuff. I don't think that's necessarily uncommon when it comes to MMORPGs.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything likes to kind of invent its own vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
I just, having played a lot of MMORPGs, not in a while to be sure, but it just seems very traditional to me.
All right, sure. I'll just take that because I've not played fantasy RPGs. I mean MMOs.
Yeah. So what rating would you give it?
Sweet.
I think that's fair. Bland isn't technically a rating that we have, even though you've given it before. It might be one we have to add.
What did I give the bland rating to?
Oh, geez. You gave it to Boruto.
Ah.
Yeah. You said Boruto was bland, and I said Boruto was sweet.
All right. Well, we have different perspectives on these two shows.
Yeah, well, I was going to give it a sweet rating since it seems like a pretty upbeat and you know, chill show, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And episode 3 was fun.
Yeah, it seems pretty fun. It's just, for me, it's not like...
It's not grabbing
you. It's not like... It's not something that I have to watch. It's just so... I don't want to say cliche, but it's very, like, played out, I guess.
All right, sure.
Not that I hate traditional adventure stuff. Mm-hmm. It's great. I just something about this isn't, like, getting me.
Yeah, it just isn't grabbing you. That's fine.
Are you sad about that?
No.
You offended?
No.
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 No. Are you sure?
Yep.
No?
Yep.
No? Yep.
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 I'm not sad at all.
Ah! but no.
Okay. So the show gets a sweet rating. Is there anything else? Oh, sorry we missed last week. One of us graduated college.
And that's important.
It was me.
Okay.
Well, I thought you were going to say something. That's why I paused.
No, fair enough.
So yeah, but we will be back next week with a show of my choosing. Assuming we're not back with a guest show.
Yeah, hopefully we can make those happen soon, but you know, everybody's been busy the past week.
Yeah, with finals and everything. It's been a little crazier than expected.
Oh, those poor, like, high schoolers and grade schoolers who are still in school all through May.
I know. Some of them are in school through the beginning of June, which is very sad.
Yeah.
So, if there is no guest episode next week, then we will be watching my pick, which is Mindhunter.
Oh.
Another show that's on Netflix. I believe it's a Netflix original.
You're putting your degree to work right away.
Immediately. If you want, I can use half of the next episode to tell you about all of the misconceptions when it comes to profiling.
We'll see if it's going to be a short episode like this one first, and then we'll set you loose, you know.
We'll see if I can rant about stuff.
Yeah, we'll see what's pertinent first.
Okay. So we will see you next time. In the meantime, check us out on Facebook or Tumblr. You can send us messages to our email, tvdpodcast@gmail.com, if you want to send in any suggestions.
Mm-hmm. And that goes double to the people that we know in real life.
Yeah, you can just send us a text or whatever. We have gotten some, but a lot of the suggestions we get from people we know are things we've already seen.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Which isn't like an unbiased review if we've already seen it.
Mm-mm.
But hopefully we see you next week.
Yeah.
Until then. Bye.
Bye.
We need to sign off.
We need to sign off.